Domingo, Phil Hendry.
I'm not going to talk about that, Margaret.
I think it's very, very significant.
Well, you know, you really want to be careful how you when you say to people, and I had an ex. I'm not going to call her an ex-girlfriend. She is. Well, how do I put this? She was this chick that I knew, and
well, did you have sex with her and everything?
That's none of your business. Okay.
I think that's a yes.
Excuse me. Anyway, it ended badly because I tried to dump this chick two or three times.
Where was this, man?
Down in Florida, okay? So just this, I tried to dump her two or three times, and finally she, you know, we just it called it off, okay? And it ended really, and it was one of these people. I knew this broad, excuse me for saying this, folks, but in her case, whatever. I knew she was like a psychopathic. I mean, seriously, no there, you know, just a big empty nothing. Anyway, this chick, you know, some people roll out the cliches, and then other people, you hope for something better, because she was hanging around with me for a while, so I thought, well, maybe some of my genius, and I'm saying that with facetious, you know, facetiously, however, maybe some of my wit and my charm rubbed off on her. Well, no, because one of the shots she took at me at the end was, old man. I love that. Now, this is a chick, excuse me for saying, she's pushing 40.
Well, you didn't say that to her.
No, I should have. Because you don't want to say that to a woman. Obviously, that's going to really slam their vanity a little bit, although she probably thinks she's like, I mean, to some common hillbilly, she's probably Marilyn Monroe. Okay, let me put it that way. But sorry, baby, you know, I was married to the homecoming queen, okay? So I know how all that goes. But the fact is, in other words, beautiful women are fine, but you know what? Beauty fades, and like I said, don't call me old man when you're knocking on 40's door, and if I may say, she has a tendency to drink her lunch.
Oh, man, she could sue you.
No, I'm not saying who it is. I didn't say her name. The whole reason why I'm bringing it, Margaret wanted me to bring it up. The old man thing, right?
Yes, you got really angry at that.
Of course. It's such a cliche. You know, it's the one area you can't use the N-word. You can't do anything about women. You can't this, can't that, can't, but you can go ahead and slam some guy for being old. Now, let me tell you something. Being my age, which is the big six, okay, if that's old, okay, that's fine. But the fact is, I'm still hustling. And hustling better than most cats that are half my age. I'm not trying to say anything here. You know, I'm not trying to, you know, I'm not better than anybody else. But the fact is, I'm still, I'm still playing the game, man, you know, and I'm playing it to win and making a better living today, damn sure, than I was, say, 5 years ago when everything was just, I mean, the whole economy was in the tank. And negotiated the purchase of my own company. I'm back, you know, with ownership, making a good living. Yeah, there's a big, you know, I just got a bill for, well, I better not say, you know.
Phil, we don't want to hear about the bills you're getting. I just wanted to hear about this whole old man. So did you say to her that you're some old skank pushing 40, trolling Facebook for men? And
No, will you watch it? No, I did not. I should have, because it would have been true. But no, the only thing was the old man thing. So if you're, you know, old and they're laying that on you, you can always come back with a couple of things. I always like to say things like, for instance, I got enough money right now I could drop in front of this chick and she would do anything I asked her to do.
Oh, man, she, that's, you know.
Spit it out, man.
Yeah, what are you trying to say? That's like calling her a prostitute.
Well, it is, Phil.
Well, it's true. It's true. I have enough bread right now. I could drop right in front of somebody like that, and she would be so overcome by that dough. She would do anything. Now, that's something that comes with age. I realize that there's a lot of guys that are younger than me that can say the same thing, but it generally speaking, is something that an older guy can say. You know, just think of that. Think of that for a minute. You could lay on somebody enough bread that they may say that you're this, that, or something else, but you know what? At the end of the day, I can buy your ass. I could give you money that would so overwhelm you, you would do anything I asked.
Anything?
Well,
like, you're not going to get somebody. I don't care how much money you pay me. You'd probably be with a guy.
All right, I'm not doing Fear Factor, so forget it, okay? I'm just making a point here. You know, I'm making a point. You know, one of the things you can say, some guy was laying into me when we were having these debates about Joe Stack, some clown. I had been over on the Joe Stack's page, and, you know, I was mixing it up with the people over there. And this guy's all, yeah, Henry, this, that. And he laid the old guy thing on me. And I looked at this guy's page. Now, he was selling T-shirts. He was silk screening and selling T-shirts out of his mobile home. Now, if you don't want me to put down what a guy's doing for a living, well, then you can't start in with the old man thing because, man, that fair game after that. So I said to this guy, how's that T-shirt business, man? And that you got a very hot wife, by the way, dude. And is she really happy being married to a T-shirt salesman? And he's all, yeah, Henry, you know, she's happy enough with me. She's going to be happy with you. I said, tell you what, man, I bet you I could buy her a car and she'd leave you.
Oh, you didn't say that.
Yes, I did. Yes, I did. Why not? Why can't I? If you're going to play in the mud, if you're going to say, not in the mud, but if you're going to say, you're an old guy, all right, then guess what? Guess what being an old guy brings you? So you got a very hot-looking wife, which he did. I said, she is very beautiful, man. Yeah. I said, well, you know what? I bet you all I got to do is buy her a car, and she'd be gone like that. And he's all, yeah. Boy, that pissed him off. But you know what? If you can't,
if you can't stand the heat, then you can't take it.
That's not how it goes, man. So if you can't stand the heat, get out of the kitchen.
No.
Yes. Don't tell me no, bud. There's one thing I hate you saying no. If you can't stand the heat, get out of it. What do you mean, if you can't stand the heat, you can't take it?
That doesn't mean anything, bud.
Yeah, it does. You can't stand the heat, then you can't take it.
Yeah, okay, man. So
you always do that. You never give me a chance.
Because you sound dumb, man. Here's some new news, by the way. James Gandolfini details are emerging in the sudden death of Soprano actor James Gandolfini, who passed away Wednesday in Rome at the age of 51. Dr. Claudio Modini, head of the emergency department at the Policino Umberto Hospital in Rome, confirmed to the New York Times that Gandolfini died of cardiac arrest. When he arrived, he was already in cardiac arrest. He was put under resuscitation treatment for 40 minutes, but the emergency staff failed to restart his heart, and at 2300, he was pronounced deceased. That would be 11 o'clock, said Dr. Modini, 11 p.m., who did not personally treat the actor via telephone. He was talking, adding that he could have been deceased on arrival since he was already in cardiac arrest. Modini also told the Associated Press that in accordance with Italian law, an autopsy would be conducted 24 hours after his death. On Thursday, a family friend identified as Michael Kobold, I believe it says, spoke to reporters at a news conference at Rome's hotel, at the hotel where Mr. Gandolfini had been staying when he was stricken. Last night at approximately 10 p.m., James Gandolfini, while on vacation in Rome, experienced a medical emergency, Mr. Kobold said in a prepared statement. The hotel notified the emergency crews, who responded, and first aid was administered before Mr. Gandolfini was taken to a hospital where he died of an apparent heart attack. Our prayers and condolences go to his family and friends.
Now, you know, I don't want to say anything, Phil, but do you think there'll be a big stink about whether they, you know, the ambulance arrived?
I don't know. Who knows? Who knows?
Yeah, they'll probably make a big stink.
No, they won't. How do you know they'll probably make a big stink?
You don't know, because it was Italians and everything.
What about it?
They know what they're doing?
Yeah, they know what they're doing. What do you mean, do they know what they're doing? Yeah, they know what they're doing.
Well, you just don't know.
Wait a minute. Just because it ain't America doesn't mean that the doctors don't know what they're doing.
No, I know that, but they're Italians and everything.
What's that supposed to mean?
Well,
what does it mean?
I think you know what it means.
No, I don't know what it means. What does it mean?
Italians are the ones that they joined Hitler.
They joined Hitler?
Yeah.
And that means what?
They could drop the ball when it comes to EMT.
I can't even begin to see the connection between these things.
Come on, Mr. Henry, wake up and smell a coffee. If the Italian...
You shut up, all three of you, before I flip my lid. They helped Hitler.
Well, it's something to consider.
No, it's not. Okay, so that's the news. And apparently his young son, his teenage son, found him. So that's rough all the way around, man. Great actor, brought great joy to so many people. I was very sad that when I saw that news, it blew me away and it bummed me out because I very, very, very much admired him every time I saw him. All right.
You mean like just walking down the street?
No, when I saw him on the screen. We'll be right back. It is the world-famous Phil Henry Show. We still need Harvey Wireman back here, along with Doug Danger, along with David G. Hall, as we talk with Doug about changing his handle to I'm an LGBT man and an LGBT journalist. I don't think it's going over too good, but we'll see. World-famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
And welcome back to the world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com, where if you're not listening to us on the radio, you can also, with a backstage pass, watch and listen to us on our website. So there's no real excuse for missing the Phil Henry Show and the many marvelous theatrics that we provide. James Gandolfini, we are not. We would never even begin to try to, you know, say that. However, we, in our own meager way,
All right, Phil, enough with the phony humility.
Anyway, welcome back to the program. On the line with me, we've got a plethora, a grouping of people here. Doug Danger is rejoining us here from Orange County. Harvey Wireman is with us from San Marino. We do have David G. Hall from his home in South Pasadena. And I think we're going to have one more person. I'm not sure yet, but David and Harvey and Doug... who are we missing? Oh, and yeah, David, Harvey, Doug. All right. Anyway, gentlemen, David, I want to start with you, okay? You want Doug to change the handle from gay man to gay journal, gay man and gay journalist to LGBT man and LGBT journalist. Why?
Phil, thank you very much. This is David G. Hall, the Vice President of Syndication on the Phil Henry Show. I want to ask Doug to consider calling himself an LGBT man and an LGBT woman, LGBT man and a journalist.
Okay, this is Doug Danger. I think I know what my handle is.
I don't want to be contentious, Doug.
Neither do I. But I will tell you right now, it's a stupid idea.
Can I enter in here, Phil? Can I enter into a...
No, hold on for a minute. I want David to finish.
Yeah, I'll be done, Harvey, and then... I want you to consider, Doug, only because we've got people who have been calling this evening saying that they heard that Phil, yes, he was 3 years old, yes, his sisters dressed him up as a woman, but they'd feel more comfortable with Phil if he would just quit leaning on everything gay, 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 you know, he's backing up the gay. Phil is a great guy, and Phil is a fair-minded man, but... You couple the information that he was wearing high heels and, you know, putting on perfume and going out for the evening.
Now, wait, hold on for just a minute, okay?
I want to jump in if I could. Wait, let me finish, all right?
No, you're not going to finish. I was 3 years old. I'm not going out for the evening.
I said like you're going out for the evening, that's all. And so we would feel comfortable, Doug, if in light of this new information...
These were my sisters.
Oh, hold on, Doug. We would feel comfortable in light of this new information if you would say, "Hi, I'm Doug Danger. I'm a gay." How do you say it?
You know, Mr. Hall, I think what you're asking me, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. Okay, buddy.
No, I know that. There's no reason to start muscling me.
I'm not going to muscle you. I'm just going to say, you want me to say I'm an LGBT man and LGBT woman, not a woman, the LGBT.
But what do you say? You say you're a gay man and a gay.
And a gay journalist.
Hold on, Phil. No one's talking to you right now.
Look, I want to jump in.
Hold on, will you, Wireman?
Hey, you don't call me Wireman Hall, okay?
I'm sorry, Harvey. Doug, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right. And LG, I'm a gay man and a gay woman. Is that right?
Gay journalist.
Phil, I'm not talking to you right now, if you don't mind. What is it?
Phil's right. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist.
So Phil is right?
Yeah.
All right, Phil, so you were right.
Was I really?
I'm not talking to you. I'm just telling you that...
Yes, you are talking to me.
But I'm not asking you to talk back. So the gay man and gay... So what I'm asking is what, Harvey? Please advise. You're asking... Well, first of all, you're the dumbest bastard the world has ever known, Hall. That's the number one thing I want to say.
All right. Yeah, finally. Yeah. Woo!
And one more thing, Hall. Are you talking to me? If your name's Hall, and I think it is, then yes, I am talking to you.
The dumbest bastard, huh?
You are absolutely one of the dumbest clods that has ever been scooped up in the midst of the re-plowing of a field. You are a dumb, oh, God, are you dumb? Oh.
Harvey, you there?
I think he hung up or he passed out.
I'll tell you something right now. Yeah, Mr. Wireman, thank you very much for that.
You there?
Harvey, are you there?
I dropped the phone. It took me a while to reach down and get it. I had to get out of the chair and get down on my hands and knees and get way down to where the phone was and then lift it up. And it's taken all this time.
I understand. All right. Phil, so
Doug, that's a big no, huh?
No, it's not a big no. If you really want me to say I'm an LGBT man, LGBT woman...
No, not woman. I said journalist.
I'm sorry. Yeah, LGBT. Okay, see, even now I'm butchering it. I think it's a bad idea because it's clumsy. It takes too much time to say. I don't think anybody's going to identify with it. And
why don't you just back off with the gay man and gay journalist thing?
No, I will not. No, I will not.
Even though Phil dressed...
Even though I was a 3-year-old boy dressed up as a woman because my sisters dressed me up that way, no, that shouldn't intimidate Doug at all.
I want to jump in if I could. You've been wanting to jump in for a long time, Wireman. Why don't you take a jump off a pier, huh? Why, you lousy, dirty. I'm going to tell you something, Hall. I'm on my way here. Did you get a load of that? That's a threat. Hey, Wireman.
What's he doing?
He says he's coming over to my house. Wireman.
Harvey, you there?
All right, so, you think I'm going to be afraid of an old man? I want to ask you something, Doug. What about I'm a homosexual nurse, or whatever you say you are?
I'm going to say this the last time to you, okay? I'm a gay man or a homosexual man and a gay...
Hold on for a minute. Yeah, who's there?
I got a delivery of flowers. Flowers, huh? Hold on for a minute.
Hello?
Oh, God.
Tell me that, huh?
Hello?
I'm here.
No, is David?
So it's me, it's Harvey.
Where's Hall?
I trussed him up with some length of rope that I've got, and I've got him in the bathtub. God, it's getting harder. Every year I do that.
Every year you do that, huh?
Yeah, well, he's fine. Hey, Hall, say something. Yeah.
Well, what did you do?
What do you think I did? I shut him up. Hey, Hall, what's your opinion about it now? What?
On a horse?
Yeah, you're a mumbling stuttering jackass, you know that? But how about if I turn the shower on you, huh?
Doing a booty, dude.
What?
Doing a booty.
What are you... I don't know what he's saying. It sounds like something important. Should I take the masking tape off of his face?
I don't... Yeah. Yes, of course.
All right. Go ahead. I said you're going to have your ass in a sling if you... It wasn't anything important.
All right, well, it looks like this has devolved into the most asinine thing I've ever heard in my life. Doug, it looks like you can hold on to your handle, gay man, gay journalist, okay?
Well, Phil, I appreciate that very much.
Shut your hole.
Phil, I appreciate that very much. Hey, Harvey, could you turn him down or turn you down or just turn your whole world down or something? Because I'm trying to say something. I'm a gay man, gay journalist.
I understand what you are, Danger. Hey, Hall. Hey, Hall. I'm poking him with a broom handle. Where do you keep the beer in this dump? I know it's in a refrigerator. I'm going to go to the refrigerator.
That's generally where the beer would be.
I keep mine in the garage. Oh. Aha, here it is. Look at this crap. Scotch brand and Myers. Jesus, you are really scraping the bottom of the barrel, Hall. Yeah, well.
All right, we'll take a break. Thank you very much, gentlemen. World famous Phil Henry Show.
Get it? That's pretty cool.
Hendry. This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
All right, back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Legacies are generally determined after the fact, written by others, imposed on the subject without their input. For the last 3 years, LeBron James has endured daily revisions to his legacy, a chorus of critics framing his career based on a single game, a single series, the shots that swished and those that missed, never waiting for a fuller picture to emerge. This is, by the way, the writing of Howard Beck in the New York Times. James at last seized control of his own narrative on Thursday night, leaving nothing to chance and no more room for debate. He drove hard, he shot brilliantly, scored every critical basket, and finally pushed the Miami Heat past the San Antonio Spurs for a 95-88 victory in Game 7 of the NBA Finals. For me, I can't worry what everybody says about me, James said on the championship stage, the red and white confetti raining all around him, the crowd shrieking in agreement. A year after securing his first title, James claimed his second with a 37-point, 12-rebound finale, closing out a taut series against the Spurs, who were seeking their fifth title with Tim Duncan. It's a great, great basketball team. It's a great basketball city and a terrific franchise, the San Antonio Spurs. And, of course, Tim Duncan is on his way to the Hall of Fame. He missed a big layup in the game yesterday.
Which one?
I don't know. It was one of the layups they were talking about. It's kind of the difference. It is. Therein is the rub, as Shakespeare said. You know, in great games, man, in great games, you're there or you're not. You make the shot or you don't. It doesn't mean you suck. It doesn't mean that you don't belong in the Hall of Fame. It doesn't mean you're not a great player. But, you know, I read this biography of Ted Williams. And Ted Williams was always burned by the fact that Joe DiMaggio was the guy, you know. And the fact is, Joe DiMaggio hit home runs in World Series. Ted Williams hit a home run in an All-Star game. That was really exciting back in the days when All-Star games were really, really big. But he never hit a home run in a World Series. And that's why he wasn't Joe DiMaggio. And that's why Ted Williams, a great hitter, no question, but no one will ever, ever, ever call Ted Williams not really a champion because his teams were not championship teams. Anyway, the Heat joined the LA Lakers as the only team to repeat in the post-Jordan era. They did it by becoming just the fourth team to win Game 6 and 7 at home after facing a 3-2 deficit. Duncan, one of the greatest big men to ever play the game, lost in the finals for the first time in his 5 appearances and perhaps bowed off of this stage for a final time at 37. He might not get another chance.
Oh, Tim Duncan's 30. Well, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar played till what age? Don't say anything, Robert or Bud.
Well, what, is this a test?
I just want to know.
Kareem played to 40, I think.
Well, he played, if you call that playing.
Yeah, I call that playing. What's that supposed to mean, if you call that playing? Yeah, I think he played to 40. I'm not sure.
Because, I know that George Blanda played much longer.
He played football.
Yeah, he didn't play basketball.
He didn't play basketball.
No.
Why do I think George Blanda played basketball?
Maybe because you don't know nothing about it.
Oh, is that it, Bud? Thank you very much. I don't know nothing about it. I'll tell you something. My father coached baseball. He managed basketball.
Well, he managed baseball and he coached basketball.
What?
You don't manage basketball, you manage baseball.
I think I'll manage.
Yeah.
Oh, you know what? All three of you guys can park it way up there, along with your heads and everything.
Paper towels?
Please.
So, 37 is kind of getting in basketball, but, hey, you know, you never know. These cats nowadays, everybody's in such fantastic shape. I think you're going to see more and more guys playing into their 40s in certain sports, you know. The idea of playing into one's 40s in hockey, I mean, I remember, you know, watching hockey games. I think there's still cats that play in their 40s. Some guys can play into their 40s in hockey. Some cats can still play in baseball, pitchers can continue to play in baseball into their 40s. Football, we do have the example of George Blanda, and we have the occasional kicker. The most astounding 40-year-old, in my opinion, to ever play in pro football was Darryl Green, who hit the 40-year mark as a cornerback. Now, that's a defensive back. That's a guy that's backpedaling for most of the game, and you've got to be fast. And so that was amazing to me that Darryl Green made it to that age. So basketball, I don't know. Kareem and maybe Tim Duncan. Who knows? But that's a physically demanding sport.
Yeah, well, football physically demanding, too.
You lisp, man.
I know. Football is physically demanding.
You can't do that.
He can do anything he wants, okay?
Yeah, he's saying football physically.
I'm trying to do it right, man. Football physically demanding. Forget it.
Football's physically demanding.
Yeah.
It is. It's a very physically demanding sport. It'll beat the hell out of you, but there are guys that have, you know, and Bland is the most famous of the 40-year-olds, but there's been other guys. So I think it depends on all of your conditioning and how well you take care of yourself. I mean, it's just that simple. I know that they say the life expectancy is longer for men and women now, but still, man, if you don't take care of yourself, your ass is, you know, and I'm not, you know, getting back to James Gandolfini, I'm not saying anything about him. He was a big man. I don't know if he ever had a treadmill. I don't know the history of his particular situation. Was there a heart attack in his family? Did he have regular physicals? I know you have to have a physical before you start a television show, because they're insuring you. But they're not really that in-depth, those physicals.
No, I'm back from the toilet, by the way.
Are you really?
Yes, Phil, don't be a smartass, all right? I will not sit here and be mocked. But if you're talking about entertainment, I wiped very quickly and came back.
Oh, man, we don't have to know that.
Margaret.
I'm just telling you, it's not that big. I wiped quickly. And by the way, where are the seat covers? I won't sit on that toilet seat without seat covers, bud.
I don't know. What are those?
Seat covers. Women like them.
Yes, women like them. I will not sit on that diseased toilet seat without seat covers. Do you have Lysol spray?
Do we have to talk about this right now?
Anyway, I was going to say, James Gandolfini, yes, they do get physicals. I've been there. I know. My husband, Frank, was a producer. But. What was I going to say?
You were going to say the physicals?
Yes. They're not very thorough. Although I know that when I was temporarily hired by Big Valley to play Audra's sister, I was given a fairly thorough physical.
Well, what did it entail?
There was the chest, heart. There was a rectal exam that they used a tube for. I requested that, though. I'm going to punch
it. Hey, ow!
You think that funny?
What do you mean you requested it?
Wait a minute. That kid was laughing at me.
Yeah, and you took a shot on him.
That's none of your business. They had physicals, and I said, what do they entail? And they said this and that. And I said, what about the tube? And they went, sure. They kind of gave me a weird look, but I said to them, it's none of your business.
What is it? Well, Margaret, what kid, you don't want to tell us?
Don't give me a look like I'm a freak.
Well, what... You said that you had a physical, you had a rectal exam with a tube.
Yes.
That you requested.
You know what, I'm...
She's going to the bathroom again. Maybe that's why.
Maybe.
Okay.
I thought only guys get that.
That's what I thought. All right.
Maybe Margaret's the guy.
I heard that.
Never mind. So, yeah, James Gandolfini, getting back to the late, great actor, that's a cat that probably should have had, just given the man's overall, just the general condition of him physically, from what I could see on the TV show, he looked like he was carrying some extra weight that maybe he could do without. Although I have to tell you, that was the character, you know. What would he look like, Tony Soprano look like, without that gut? I don't know.
Well, just because you're Italian mafia don't mean you got to have the gut on you.
Yeah, he don't want to put his health in jeopardy.
Well, you should have a treadmill test, and he should have had one. You get to a certain age, you have to have a treadmill test where they hook you up to the EEG.
What's that?
EEG is an electroencephalograph. Oh, no, excuse me, EKG. I'm sorry, electrocardiograph. Electrocardiograph, as opposed to an EEG, which is for the brain. That's a electroencephalograph that reads brainwaves. But an EKG on the treadmill registers your relative heart condition, and so you need that. And, you know, a regular physical. And but even that doesn't necessarily guarantee anything. I've heard of more guys, they come out of having a physical, they're fantastic, everything's great, the doctor gives them the thumbs up, hey, yeah, you're looking good. 2 days later, the guy dies. I mean, there was a story, very famous story, of a runner in the 70s. This guy was a big-time runner. He wrote a book about running. He was the guru of running. He, you know, the diet this and the diet that and the water this and the carbohydrates that. And this guy was Mr. Health. He croaked from a heart attack.
What, the runner?
Yeah.
He ought to be able to, he should be able to sue, well, not him, but can't they sue?
Sue what? Sue who?
Well, if you're a runner and you die of a heart attack, you ought to be able to sue.
Yeah, who are you going to sue, man?
You can sue, like...
Yeah, who are you going to sue, bud?
You can sue the people that make the gym equipment and stuff.
You're going to sue the guy that makes the gym equipment? What do you mean?
Like the guys that make the shoes and everything.
You're going to sue the cat that makes the shoe because you... By the way, your family's going to do it, right?
What?
You can't. You're dead.
Yeah, I mean, the family should.
And they're going to sue the guy that makes the running shoes because their family member died of a heart attack running. How is it that the running shoe company is responsible?
I'm just saying, if you die of a heart attack after you've been eating greens and broccoli and everything, and rainwater...
Come on, man. Spit it out, will you?
I'm spitting it out. That you ought to be able to... How about if you sue the broccoli people?
Bud, give it up while you're ahead, okay, man?
I don't think he's ahead.
Just quit while you're ahead, man, okay? Sue the broccoli people. Bud, you know what you are? You're a guy that's the product of a society that has been sue-happy for a long time, so you think all problems are solved through lawsuits. Now, I believe very much in civil litigation. Very much. Very much so. It is a refuge for people who are victimized out there in the world, not necessarily as the result of a bad law or, you know, cops or whatever. These are people who have been abused by their fellow citizens, and they need a recourse to something like that. I believe in that. I do not believe that a guy croaks from a heart attack because he's been running and because he shouldn't have died from a heart attack because he's running, and his family decides they got to sue somebody, so they sue the guy that grows broccoli.
That ought to keep him getting a heart attack, though.
What?
Broccoli.
Says who?
Are you kidding me, man? A guy eat broccoli, never have no heart attack.
You know, before we talk about broccoli and running and heart attacks, you got to go back to school, man, and learn how to speak English, okay?
No heart attack with no broccoli.
Well, but still.
Still what? How do you know I wouldn't have a heart attack if all I ate was broccoli? You know that the heart attacks are hereditary? You could feed a guy broccoli until the cows came home, crapped on it, and grew more broccoli, and that cat could die of a heart attack. You want to know why?
On account of the hereditary.
Yes. That's exactly. Women who get breast cancer, same thing. All right. We're going to be back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show to close things out here on this Thursday night. Tomorrow is, well, today's Friday. Today is Friday. Now, what do we got coming up this weekend, man? Are we going out to the desert or what?
I don't know. You are. Maybe you are.
I may be going out to the desert. I wanted to visit our good, close, personal friend, Johnette, out there, but she is coming into L.A., so I don't know what's going on. But we may head out to the desert. Then, of course, next week we launch Phil 2.0, baby. A new time period for the world famous Phil Henry Show. We'll tell you about it when we come back.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
Well, yes, there's plenty that's worse in this world than a broken car wash, but just as everyday things go, what's much worse than a busted car? You're sitting in your car and the car wash is broken.
Well, you can't get out of your car.
You don't need to. This particular car wash, but yeah, there would be some car washes you wouldn't be able to get out of your car. You'd have to call. I'm reminded of that one scene, I don't know who it was and what movie, but the guy gets out of his car and has to put up his umbrella because his car wash is broken. I forget which movie it is, but There's a car wash up the street from my house that I have used a couple times. Every time it's busted.
What do you do?
Well, I just drive out of it because it's one of those car washes where the thing moves. Your car doesn't move. The thing moves, you know?
The thing moves. What thing?
The thing that is dispensing all the suds.
Oh, yes, yes.
Yeah, it's moving. A lot of times I think I'm moving, though, because it freaks me out.
Yeah, I know what you mean. It's like an eyeball trick or something.
You mean it's a perceptive, yeah, okay. An eyeball trick. What is that? Anyway, this is the thing that moves. So I just pull out. Well, like two times I'm in there, and the thing is busted. And I finally said, you know, I used some choice word. No, I didn't. But I stopped going there. And then today I took a chance because the car was just a filthy mess, and I had to get it washed. So I took a shot. I go up there, and sure enough, it was fine. It was fine. I even said to the guy, please, does your car wash work? Yes, sir, it's fine. Everything's great. A couple problems. Yeah.
So your car, I saw your car, looks gorgeous, absolutely sparklingly beautiful, and I know the lease is coming up on it, isn't it?
Yeah, the lease is up on my car in November. Anyway, I wanted to bring this up. This is an interesting story because I was talking about stopping at the mobile snack shop there. Feds have seized 14 7-Eleven stores. Get a load of this. In an ID theft case.
What? You're kidding me.
No. Federal authorities seized 14 7-Eleven stores in New York and Virginia and indicted, hey, Barry, if you're listening, stay out of those 7-Elevens.
Where is she living?
She lives in Alexandria. And I know some people in Alexandria, Arlington, just, you know. Federal authorities seized 14 7-Eleven stores in New York and Virginia and indicted 9 owners and managers, charging them with stealing identities and exploiting more than 50 illegal immigrants. What a dirty, rotten thing to do. You got to be some kind of a psychopath to do stuff like that. No conscience, no empathy for people, just a dirty, rotten thief. Farouk and Bushra Baig, a married couple who owned or managed a dozen of the convenience stores, along with 7 other owner-managers, were charged with identity theft, conspiracy to commit wire fraud, and concealing and harboring illegal immigrants. Loretta Lynch, the former country singer, and now, I'm kidding, no it isn't.
What was Loretta Lynch?
Loretta Lynn was the country singer. Loretta Lynch is a U.S. attorney for the Eastern District of New York. She said, quote, from their 7-Eleven stores, the defendants dispersed wire fraud and identity theft along with Slurpees and hot dogs, Lynch said at a Brooklyn news conference. She said the 7-Eleven defendants allegedly forced the immigrants to work 100 hours a week and pocketed the majority of their pay while also forcing them to live in and pay rent in boarding houses that the defendants owned. A plantation system allegedly went on for more than 13 years.
Oh, Mike, what is with these people? That man that kept those girls for 10 years.
These are psychopaths. I'm telling you, they are psychopaths. They have no conscience, no empathy. They just see people as marks. They see everybody as an opportunity. They even see each other that way. They don't see, you know, you got to understand, these people, when they look at another human being, they just see, what do I get out of him? How can I use them? There's absolutely nothing else that they see. 10 of the stores are located on New York's Long Island, and 4 were in Virginia, according to Loretta Lynch. The stores are now operating under the district management of 7-Eleven after the authorities moved to have the franchises forfeited. The feds also seized 5 houses on Long Island owned by the defendants. Good. James Hayes, special agent in charge of the U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement Homeland Security's investigation, said federal agents are investigating an additional 40 7-Eleven stores. Fantastic. This is good work. Hey. In a statement, see, there you go. That's our tax dollars at work keeping this scum, because I'm going to tell you, if they're doing that to illegal immigrants, what's happening every time you walk in there with a credit card, Mr. and Mrs. America? Oh, yeah, I didn't think of that one, did you?
Well, Phil, I'm sure people are thinking of that.
But what's identity with the stealing?
They're using the identities of these immigrants. They're making them work there. They're making them forfeit their pay. They're basically keeping these people captive. And the reason they're able to do it is these folks are illegal. And before people get too judgmental, these people may be working there or came into contact with these individuals because they were told, oh, we can get you your papers. Yeah, no sweat. You know, you're in a new country. You don't know how the ball game works. And they wind up being kept there as indentured servants for 13 years.
What's a indentured servant?
They ain't indentured, ma'am. I keep telling him, he keeps saying, what's a indenture?
What do you mean, what's an indentured servant?
No, a indenture.
It's not dentures, man. It's not dentures. It's an indent. An indentured servant is someone who works almost virtually as a slave for a period of a number of years. And then eventually, as it worked in the old days, then eventually you get your freedom. A slave never got his freedom, ever, until the master died and maybe put it in his will. But indentured servants were slaves for like 10 years. Most of the white trash that came, well, I shouldn't say that, but most of the white trash that came over here came over as indentured servant.
Oh, well, maybe that was my great-great, like great-grandfather.
Probably.
Yeah, well, yours was a slave.
Yeah, so yours was white trash, man.
All right, take it easy. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show is produced by Phil Hendry and Dan Northcraft. And join us online at philhendryshow.com for more fantastic, wonderful, and marvelous stuff at philhendryshow.com. Get a backstage pass. Until 10 out of 10, let that be a lesson to you.
Phil Hendry.